20. Do you have, colleagues, the Margaret Halleck letter and the...
I don't know if we got the Temple notebook.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
You do?
Okay. We have both. Why do I have three letters from two letters from Temple Note?
Okay. Just, I guess, a few opening comments. We are staying with the dash 20 amendments.
Yeah.
PERS folks came in with some changes. We don't think they're substantive enough to warrant drafting and delaying this bill any further. We can fix it sometime in the next 20 years, and that'll be fine. We have plenty of time. So there has been some back and forth in the press recently since we moved the with the dash 20 amendments, and I just wanted to address a couple of those concerns. I want to, sort of walking through the process, applaud the work of the House Revenue Committee, I mean the House PERS Committee, and Majority Leader Canope. I think with 2003 and 2004, they worked with the interested parties in getting something over to us that we made hardly any changes to at all and moved forward. There were no substantive changes of any great degree at all. And so I really want to commend them on the work of repairing the current system with 2003 and 2004. And I know folks from Labor don't agree that it did that, and that's why God invented the courts. We'll see how that works out. But in terms of the work product, this what we received and what we moved to the Senate floor was practically identical. Representative Canope, when was quoted by the Associated Press as saying that he doesn't like the plan, basically. It doesn't do enough in his view. And he's quoted as saying, "I would be concerned if they said, this is our final offer, take it or leave it." There are two options on the table right now. This is, I think, the ideological battle between defined contribution and defined benefit is over. The question now from a public policy standpoint is hybrid plan or tier two. I know where the unions would be on this, and I know where the employers and the business interests are on this as well. I know it very clearly because we've been in communication with them the entire time we developed this plan. So I would submit that this plan is, in fact, a compromised plan that has been signed on by folks in the building. I understand that Representative Canope himself and some of the members of his caucus, and I'm sure there will be some members of the Senate Republicans as well, that believe that this is a fight about defined contribution versus defined benefit. That's an ideological battle, in my view, and that battle is over, in my view. I think the governor's spoken. We've basically, this plan has been endorsed by the employers, by the private sector employers, local governments, school boards, the unions, with the exception of Oregon State Employees Association. So I think it's a compromise. I think that's what happens in a compromise. We have the special districts on the employer side that don't like it, OSEA on the employee side, and everybody else in the building is satisfied with the product. Representative Canope sent me a letter to the governor today that I was CC'd on, essentially saying that he respectfully declines to concur on 2020 as written, and then he raises six issues that he would like to see addressed. And I just want to walk through these because these are issues that have been addressed forever among the folks who negotiated the 2020 that comes before you today. On the issue of the 6% pickup for employees by employers, you would have to make that a prohibited subject of bargaining, number one, and we're not going there. Number two, that 6%, whether it's picked up by the employer or not, is wages. So if we did do some kind of scheme where we would say for new employees, the employees have to pay the 6%, then you would force the employers to create basically two pay scales. You'd have a clerical worker hired the day before the enactment of this bill, had 100% of her clerical workers' wages coming in on first step. And then the next day, you'd have a new employee under the new system, and because they want the employee to pay, they would be getting 106% of on the salary schedule. So I think it would be pretty unwieldy for a local government to go that way. With regard to benefit creep, you have in front of you a memo from Margaret Halleck, Jim Boydko, and Steve Delaney from the governor's office and the PERS folks to Senator Menas, outlining the cost drivers that don't exist in the successor hybrid plan. I mean, that was what this was all about in terms of making sure that this plan didn't have money match, didn't have tier one interest credit guarantees, doesn't have, there's no opportunity for the board to credit excess earnings to member accounts. There's the modern mortality tables, the other things that we've done all through. So it's my view that the benefit creep issue is taken care of both with the removal of those additional benefits and with a mechanism within the successor plan that will in fact create an MLAC-like board who will make recommendations to the board on any plan changes, and the board will carry forward those recommendations to the legislature, so if they agree with them, and so it will be vetted through two groups before it would even have a chance of making it to the legislature. And I would suggest, as I have before, that the legislature, any future legislature, is going to be very chary about making changes after the experience we went through this year. So that's benefit creep. Cost of living adjustment, basically the business sector's looked at this. Everybody on both sides has looked at this and agreed that it makes sense to put in that maximum 2% cost of living increase, and this has to do with disability benefits. The disability benefits for non-duty disabilities, we brought in Mark Johnson, the actuary, who basically convinced the business group, and I'll look to the employer group to disagree with me here, but basically showed that in fact that would be more costly to separate that out. Legislators not being part of PERS but in a separate DC plan, again, that's the ideological fight of DC versus DB. We've already been there, done that. We're going with the hybrid plan. And then the option for new hires to choose a defined contribution or hybrid, same problem there in terms of the ideological fight. So, I mean, I would submit that this is a product of compromise. It doesn't have everybody's buy-in, but I think it has, I think people were surprised by the level of buy-in that does exist with the plan. I would submit that any attempts to deep six this simply create a false option, which is to go back to tier two with all those cost drivers in it, as opposed to going with the hybrid plan. So those are my comments, and I would entertain a motion to either we can have some more discussion or entertain a motion to move.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to raise the committee discussion. I'm going to support the motion to move this to the Senate floor, although I want to caution you, Mr. Chairman, and other members that it's my opinion that parties, both the House and the Senate, are very close in terms of where this ultimate plan might end up. So I disagree with you that it's a question of defined contribution or defined benefit, because my conversations with the leadership on the House side would indicate that we're very, very close to a potential agreement. So I think that characterization is not accurate. I do think it's unfortunate that we're not holding on to this a little longer to try to find that common ground, because I think we are quite capable of doing that. But you are the chairman, and it's your desire to move the bill forward, and I'm not going to stand in the way. I do want to make, I guess, that admonition to the committee and to those persons listening, and I do think the issues raised by Representative Canoe are valid issues that that deserve to have some discussion, and hopefully that discussion will happen at some point as the parties can come to agreements. You served as a union negotiator and negotiated collective bargaining agreements, and this really is not unlike that. So I am going to vote to move this forward. So at this point, I'll go ahead and make a motion to move House Bill 2020 to the floor of the Senate.
Thank you, Senator Menas. Senator Menas moves the Dash 20 amendments to, or no, we've moved those already, moves the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion?
Yes, I actually have.
Okay, hang on here. At Senator Stark, go ahead.
I'm going to oppose the motion. I no surprise to those on this panel, and probably most in the room, that I've from day one, this legislative session has started, and during the campaign that led up to me serving in the Senate, I made it clear that I support a 401k style defined contribution successor plan. I think there's a lot of reasons why that's positive public policy for taxpayers in the state, quite frankly, for the public employees. I would have preferred to see some minor changes to the bill as it came over from the House. I think there were some things that probably should have been accommodated and corrected perhaps in that bill. But as we stand here today, I'm going to be opposing the bill. I'm going to the motion now and opposing the bill on the floor. And I do want to say that I appreciate the work that the chair has put into this bill and pulling together the work group and everybody that worked on it. You look at the options that are in front of us, and, you know, straight face, you have to admit that we're financially better off as a state with the with 2020 than a tier two. And I understand that. I believe that. And I think that that's clear on its face. However, I think, too, that that a defined contribution purely with some minor tweaks to accommodate the peculiarities of public service would have been better still. Having said that, I appreciate the work that you did, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Walker.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I read through Representative Knope's letter, and I'm troubled by the third paragraph, the characterization of the sentence. In the same manner, I would never have expected Senate Democrats to pass House Bill 2020 without incorporating their own ideas. It isn't fair to expect House Republicans to concur to a complete rewrite of the plan without our input. Well, first of all, I don't believe this is just a Senate Democrat plan. It's my understanding there has been input from both sides of the aisle on this issue, and it was my understanding Representative Knope was involved in some of the discussions early on. I don't know if he continued in that capacity, but I'm troubled that this has become a partisan issue when it simply is not. I'm totally happy to stay with a Tier 2 plan because I think we've corrected some of the problems, but I also understand that people in this building want to move forward and make these adjustments, which we have done, and clearly the letter from Dr. Halleck and Mrs. Wojtko and Delaney have made it clear that we have saved money under this 2020 plan. I think we've done a hell of a job, if you want my opinion, and I'm not about to screw any more employees. And if I can, the vernacular is there. We have done, I believe we have literally put the screws to some employees in this state, and we have tried to be fair to employers and employees, and we have done it with 2020, but it is not a partisan issue. And I truly object to that. And, Mr. Chair, could you tell me, have the House Republicans been involved in the negotiations that have been going on over here in the Senate?
I can say that they have not been directly involved, not because of the lack of invitation. And I can also say, and I think Senator Menas and pretty much everybody in the building would agree, that we've run this process totally transparently, and we've supplied information. We've had an outline over to the other side for literally a month now. So, but I'm not. That's not the point of this. I mean, the point of this is that there was a process, and we used a process to get the changes to the current plan. We used a process to get the mortality tables. We used a process to get the changes in the PERS board. I believe that this is all part of those negotiations, and I really just, and as Senator Minnis alluded to, I mean, my own labor negotiation background, you know, basically the people were there who were there. Everything was vetted by the folks whose interests were represented there. I think, in my mind, unfair to then go back and say, let's renegotiate the deal because I have members of my caucus that don't like a defined benefit plan, and I'm just not there. I think, you know, we got to where we got. It was painful. Everybody had to give. Nobody got what they wanted totally. There's parties on both sides who are off the plan, so we must have done something right.
Mr. Chair, and I agree, and it's not, I don't necessarily think that if we had started this bill in the Senate, we maybe would have ended up in the House with this final plan. But the plan started in the House, and it came over here, and we finished the good work they started. And I don't see anything nefarious about it, and I think the issues that have been addressed in Representative Knope's letter have been successfully addressed in this plan, and I stand behind it.
Ms. Bell, will you call the roll, please?
No.
Senator
Walker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Minnis? Aye.
Chair Corcoran?
Aye. So 2020 to the floor with the D pass. Do you want a co-carry or do you want me to just carry John? Do you want to do it? Okay, well, Senator Minnis now co-carry. Thank you. Close the hearing. We're adjourned.